And last week, when we said, let's think through the challenges of transition, now we were talking about Kropotkin's grief at seeing the rise of totalitarianism around him with the Russian Revolution of 1917. When we said, let's think through the challenges of transition now, we didn't mean let's develop the local and global organizations that could ensure that there will be no distribution interruptions. No. All we need of infrastructure exists, or most of it. There's going to be things we see we need. For instance, the state doesn't facilitate mobility, to say the least. It wants us to be captives. So it's expensive to travel, and yet we need this physical interknitting of our experience. Not just our internetting on the internet. For instance, when I first started developing the bedroom vehicle, you know, I drove it around to see, can you live in a vehicle? One time, neighbors, wherever I was parked, called the police. This is in Oakland. And so the police came and said, ma'am, if you need a home, or they were sort of launching into their social work hat. They were, you know, put their social work hat on, and I was saying, no. I'm experimenting with the bedroom vehicle. And then they sort of checked out, oh, you got a solar panel. Okay, how does that work? You know, they were asking me questions about, okay, so you need an inverter, and you got the solar panel. What else you got in there? And I said, yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people going through some really hard times right now. And they nodded their heads and says, believe me, we know. But if you're going to experiment with the bedroom vehicle, you should probably, you know, experiment in your own neighborhood. But anyway, so the point of this little anecdote is that, no, you cannot live in your car. I mean, I really tried. And for a variety of reasons, I sleep in it because I have these EMF sensitivities, and that's another story. I'm very sensitive to radio waves, and I listen to my body. I don't even question it, you know? You got to, because, you know, the technology is devious out there, even if it's just, whether it is overt or covert, it's devious and deadly. So, my point is that trying, because I tried hard, was sincere. And yet, it got the better of me. I was trying to not have to run back to the house to use facilities. And I caved. It's really, really hard to, you know, well, you know, what gas stations are open. And so part of the infrastructure that we don't have, because when I went on the road to Taos, I was hoping to meet with Michael Reynolds. This occurred to me. It's like, what if only there were these spaces where, you know, that were welcoming, with facilities that were clean, where you could wash clothes. And this is an issue, obviously, for folks who don't have a home. And if we had our own world back, we're going to be talking about this when we talk about Lucian. The fact that back in the ancient world, before there was the nation state structure designed to contain us, as Popper, as we'll see when we read Popper, is the direct implication of what he tells us, there was, I mean, when we read Lucian, we'll recognize the world as our own, even though obviously it's, you know, 2,100 whatever years ago. It's still very recognizable, with significant exceptions that we have less freedom of movement. States own us. That's why we said last week, the progress is a Ponzi scheme, it's a con. Because we are becoming less and less, we're evaporating, we're We're disappearing. And we in the US, most of all. Most of all. And because we are at crisis stage right now in the US, and because the United States is the, and, you know, throw in Germany, throw in England, but really, okay, call it this, the transatlantic group, have concentrated all the resources of the world right now. I mean, that's unprecedented. So think of it as a clog. We here in the US particularly are enmeshed in this massive energy clog. And so it's not just that we need it most because our souls are dissolving within us, but it's also that strategically we have to be the ones who take the lead because we are at the epicenter of the clog. And what I've come to see is that it is a mental clog, most of all. It is our thoughts that hold us back. So we can do this. But it has to be people and each one teach one. And grab some airwaves however we can to accelerate the process. But it is our thoughts that have to change. So when we said last week that we have to think through the challenges of transition, we don't need new organizations. And we certainly don't mean let's figure out ways to get our brothers and sisters back in harness. I hear that sometimes from young people, I'm sad to say. I'm really sorry to have to say. Young people have said to me, well, but how will you motivate people to work? Already in management mode, right? Because they are the future intelligentsia. That's the ladder, the hook, the hierarchy tool that works like a charm because nobody wants to be on the bottom. Well, these young people with semi-privilege because they've got that education, and know that that positions them for being above those who don't have it, have the words to to operationalize the betrayal and the heart and lack of heart and soul to do it. So they already see themselves as, for lack of a better word, the bosses. And so think like that. Like management. How can we get the people to work? If class ends, so we can get things done, back to that productivity con, right? Our parents teach us this. Work hard and get a good job. Work hard and get a good job. Work hard, be productive. No. If you think this, it's time to definitely some time with our three sources of power is advised. We have what we need. The issue is believing it, which is essentially believing in ourselves. So we have to push forward the truth that coerced work is a con, that there's no need for it. And if you encounter resistance when you say this, then talk about it, test the notion, distribute as broadly and as deeply as you can those discussions. That's the distribution knitting that needs to be developed. We have the internet and all the bits and pieces of self-sufficiency. So the issue is getting free so we can begin organizing and using these things. Now compare the rich and interesting diversity implied in the examples we've talked about of the fluid interplay of life, with the imposed and deepening rigidity that we live with daily, for there's no doubt our power as human beings has decreased. Plato's dream of fixity has not dimmed, just the opposite. We're moving ever faster towards its realization. Because we haven't consciously organized against it, it's only when we consciously resist that resistance can gain momentum and critical mass.